2018, and we come to Cumara Church, the final one in Lismore Union. And if I had to select a final church for this virtual tour before heading back to Kilkenny to finish, I couldn't think of anything that would, in terms of its setting, gladden the heart more than Cumara. It's associated with some very influential priests. People may remember senior members of the diocese, names like Claude Chavas, who was so associated with it, and Lemmy Bryan, and also up in Baltinglass. But in terms of the sheer situation amid the mountains and nature at its most dramatic, and not far from the Mahon Falls, if you want to connect the theatre of worship with the theatre of natural glory, one could think of no better place to feast the eye than Cumara, and to have that, as it were, slightly wearied eye after all this virtual travelling refreshed. We think about 2018. On March the 30th of that year, pubs were opened on Good Friday for the first time in over 90 years. Ironically, on the same day, just 2 years later, they were to find themselves at the start of an elongated COVID-related closure, but that's another matter. I remember musing about the Good Friday opening of the pubs, preaching that day in St. Canice's. I felt the continued ban was probably unsustainable, but the manner in which certain pubs had marked the moment, I felt, was unnecessarily and unhelpfully disrespectful. I remember writing to a pub in Kilkenny that had a poster of Christ on the cross holding a pint and proclaiming it was Good Friday. They did not reply. The early Irish governments had been keen to keep the pubs closed on Good Friday and Christmas Day, and of course the latter survives. Whatever about the religious aspect, part of it was a desire to keep men at home with their families on at least some solemn and joyful moments of the year. When one reads accounts of Christmas in the 1920s, the extraordinary level of thirst of so many men, the craving to get alcohol illegally at the back doors of premises, the fact that, frankly, a significant number of men were never really sober, a certain level of blood alcohol had always to be maintained, and they considered, as in Russia, that it kept them warm. Those were the realities of Irish social and domestic life when the state was born. And so our curious relationship with alcohol as a nation continues. I'm certainly no Puritan, but I observe the preoccupations of our society, including at times of great stress, recognising too, of course, how many livelihoods genuinely depend on the drinks industry and the political power of that industry over the years. When will the wet pubs reopen in the long term? Meanwhile, how much cut-price alcohol can one wheel out of the discount supermarket? What party, when we have parties, can ever be complete without a good flow of drink? So something of my sympathy and gratitude remains with those early governments which, for whatever reasons, wanted to have a few days in the year when well-soaked souls might reflect on their real priorities. We know, as Christians, the positive symbolism, the power in that context of fermented wine, so well when we use it in our celebrations. We lament when we cannot share the common cup, yet we also know well the insidious power of alcohol to change and destroy in a moment, notably on the roads. Recently, for the first time in my life, I was breathalyzed at random. In the past, of course, a guard had to form a view that it was necessary to do that. But I was the recipient of a random test. All was well, but for a moment my whole life and work flashed before my eyes. A stupid, irresponsible error, an over-the-limit reading, and I would have had to resign at once. No doubt about it. It's salutary to be reminded now and then that such can be the devastating consequences of our relationship with our old friend, the booze. And of course, it would have been my livelihood that would have been gone had I been so foolish for many. Drink has been the way their lives were taken.